I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 6. We'll be looking briefly at several passages for this meditation. The first passage being Psalm 6. It's found on page 570 of the Pew Bible. We'll just read that. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. This week, with going back through the confessions of Augustine, I ran across this passage about midway through his confessions when he was describing what it was like when his mother Monica died. And Augustine writes, the tears streamed down, and I let them flow as freely as they would, making a pillow for my heart, and on them I rested. Long tradition of that from the Psalms and in church history. I want us to look briefly this evening at three points. First of all, the sound of tears from Psalm 6. Secondly, the counting of tears from Psalm 56, and then the wiping of tears from Isaiah and the book of Revelation. First of all, the sound of tears from this passage we just read. With studying Psalm 6 for a different occasion, I was struck by this wording in the second phrase of verse 8. For the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. Now, after David has expressed anguish in verses 1 to 3 and then provides an argument for God to hear him, verses 4 to 7, he now transitions to words or thoughts of assurance in verses 8 to 10. And he is able, in the midst of that assurance, actually to defy his enemies, some who are seeking his life. Notice the first line of verse 8, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Now, how can he defy them so? He explains it. You know, depart from me. Why? For the Lord has heard. What has the Lord heard? The Lord has heard the sound, or it could be translated the voice, of my tears. What a way to express prayer. Instead of praise in this psalm, what David offers to God is petition, anguish, and his tears. I find that so interesting. The word translated in English, the sound of, could also, and is in other places, translated the voice. There is a sense in which God not only hears the sound of our tears, but the voice of our tears, the voice which is as distinct and individual as we are. I ran across an example from a criminal case some years ago that was solved by tears. I won't go into the details there, but in this article, a person was writing how startled they were by the property of tears. See, tears contain our DNA. Our tears are as distinct as we are, and you can identify the person simply by their tears. This person writes in the article, says, our tears are personally our own. They are unique to the eyes from which they come. In pains and joys that cause us to weep and to mourn, we leave marks far more intimate than we have ever realized In shedding tears, we shed evidence of our own makeup, leaving behind a complex yet humble message which says, I was here and my pain was real. So the sound of tears, the voice of tears. Notice with me, secondly, in Psalm 56 and verse 8, the counting of tears. And we've actually looked at this in another setting. But David writes, you have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Here with movingly and with vivid metaphor, David pleads with God to record his lament, listing his tears as liquid goes into a bottle, drop by drop, writing them down in his ledger book, as it were, meticulously. Verse 8 here is the final petition of David's psalm, chapter 56, and his final petition, put my tears in your bottle, makes clear that his confession of trust, his rejection of fear that has come earlier in this psalm, has not been without emotional cost. And yet he appeals to a God he knows that has not stood aloof during his distress, but has taken a very personal interest in not only David's suffering, but also all of his children's suffering. God counts our tears. He records them, as it were, in his ledger book. He puts them in a bottle to be kept. Someone remarked to me recently about a trip to the Middle East, and that they would sell tear bottles. They had seen tear bottles there. And I looked into it just a bit, not doubting them, but wondering if there was a history. And sure enough, tear bottles are small urns of glass or pottery created to collect tears of mourners at funerals of loved ones. The thing about this is the tradition goes back very far. They were placed in sepulchres at Rome and in Palestine where bodies were laid to rest. And in some ancient tombs, these bottles have been found in great numbers as tombs have been unearthed with archaeological digs. Those bottles collecting tears that were shed had great meaning to the ones unique to them. God counts our tears. He hears the sound, the voice of them. Is it possible to be more tender? He counts them in his ledger book and puts them in his own distinct tear bottle for us. Notice with me, thirdly, not only the sound or voice of tears, the counting of tears, but thirdly, the wiping of tears. We have it joyfully anticipated in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, we have the jubilant celebration of it. Notice with me in this wiping of tears. First of all, in Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 8. Here we have the context is of a great banquet and feasting when the Messiah, the great Son of David, comes. And there's going to be a feast. Notice Isaiah 25 verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. Notice especially now verse 8. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. part of his feast, you see. Part of feasting. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Here we have this magnificent picture of the great banquet of the Messiah when he comes. And the Lord God will provide this, the richest food, the finest wine. And during this celebration, he will destroy death forever. And he himself will dry the tears of his people, moving from one to another individually until every tear is dried. You see, the great hope of all the prophets was a coming day of restoration when God would restore his broken and fallen creation and those redeemed, made in his image. So in Isaiah, we have the joyful anticipation of the wiping of tears. And then in the book of Revelation, we have the jubilant celebration of that event. Two passages. First of all, Revelation 7 and verse 17. Here we have the great assembly of heaven, a multitude beyond number from every nation, tribe, peoples, languages, standing before the throne of the Lamb. And then we have this language of what's about to take place. And here, notice verse 16 of Revelation 7. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. Why? For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the throne, will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Citing Isaiah 25. Here, this, it is actualized in this event. Also, Revelation 21, verse 4. Very similar language. This is now the new heavens and the new earth. First earth, the first heaven is passed away. The holy city, the new Jerusalem, has come down out of heaven, adorned as a bride awaiting her bridegroom. And part of that celebration, notice Revelation 21, verse 3, John writes, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. He himself will be with them as their God. What comes next? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. It'll all be over, for the former things have passed away. You see, the day is coming when the one who shed tears outside the grave of a dear friend, Lazarus, will wipe away our tears once and for all. Ran across an example of some excavations at the city of Sardis, which was one of the seven churches to whom John wrote. And they found a cemetery or a collection of burials at it. And one particular tomb had engraved across the top of it, there are many to whom you have left tears. The day will come. Anticipated by Isaiah, celebrated by John, when God himself will wipe away our tears. God not only comforts the grieving, but will remove the conditions that produce that sorrow. Ran across a statement by Doug Kelly. He has a collection of sermons on the book of Revelation, and on this passage he said that pain and the shedding of tears is a sign that something is wrong. Something is wrong in the world order that we inhabit. It is caused by sin, and the effect of sin is death. So when death departs, sorrow departs. When pain goes, all that causes grief will be no more. remind you that the book of Revelation was written to first readers, original audience who lived in a world where no one in those churches was immune to suffering and tears. And now these final words come from the throne, the loud voice of the throne, verse 3, giving these churches and believers after them incentive to persevere, trusting God. And what's that incentive? It's hope. It's hope for what's ahead. It's hope for what's coming, that great and final day. Trusting that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes and death will be no more. It's significant that the promise in verse 4 is directly connected to the presence of God in verse 3. The dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. That dwelling, close, intimate God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Well, that's the wiping of tears. Just one more brief comment. And I don't know of equal comfort in the midst of life's sorrows and heartache. No other answer within the problem of pain and evil in the world. God has sent as unique and personal a Savior as the very tears we shed, crying for answers and comfort. Every tear is marked by the intricacies of our Creator. Every cry is heard by the one who wept outside the grave of his dear friend. Every lament is collected in his bottle until a day that's coming when tears will be no more. And he will wipe them away once and for all. Amen.